Okay, movie review in time, and we're doing another Cronenberg movie.
Yeah, early Cronenberg.
Yeah, this is actually his first feature film. He had made a couple of independent films before this, I think Crimes of the Future and Stereo, which I think those were short films, but this was like his first major release. And this is Shivers,
yeah,
which was actually released in the United States initially as They Came From Within.
Yeah, about a perv virus.
Perv
kinda.
Virus.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, the interesting thing about this movie, oh my God, there's like so much
imagine
going on.
Imagine sex zombies.
Yeah, you're
being attacked by
like
sex
that.
Zombies.
But because it's Cronenberg, you know, there has to be like a lot of squicky, like parasitic type of shit.
Yeah, weird body organ replacement things where parasites try to get in and replace organs. They talk about that for a while. It's weird. I'll tell you one thing, though. This movie is aesthetic as fuck. It's taking place like in this apartment complex, and it looks so 1977, 78. The decor in it, you know, Dan Bell would love this. This belongs in one of those Dead Mall series. It looks really cool.
Yeah, this was actually filmed, I think it was filmed in an actual building, obviously, because it was filmed for really cheap. It actually came out in 1975, and they filmed it on Nuns Island,
yeah,
which is near Montreal. And the whole, I love the beginning of this movie, and I'm going to get into this a little bit too, but I love the beginning of this movie because the beginning of it is pretty much like a super 70s commercial,
yeah,
for this upscale apartment building called Starliner Towers. And they're talking about it like it's a cruise ship.
Like it's
kind
a
of.
Cruise ship and it's special and all it is.
Or a spaceship, I guess.
Yeah. And all it is an apartment complex with a swimming pool and a store in it, basically.
Yeah, it has like a store. It has like, they make a big deal out of like, yeah, there's like an on-site medical clinic. And
you never have to leave.
You, yeah, never have to leave the island and all this other, yeah, kind of stuff.
And you look at it and it's just a square.
Yeah.
It's basically,
well,
a square
sure
box.
That like looked really kick-ass for back then. But
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
It's, all the apartments are super, super
it,
70s.
It did. Oh, yeah, so I guess it was early 70s decor,
yeah,
late 60s. And seeing it, you know, I'm old enough to remember when buildings looked like that.
Yeah.
And I forgot how cheap that shit looked, man.
Yeah.
In a certain way, the construction materials looked pretty cheap. The furniture looked cheap. They're presenting it as if it's really high tech, like something out of Clockwork Orange. And I'm looking at the countertops and the furniture that they're using, I'm going, yeah, that shit's all plywood. That's all warped and cracked by now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't really care if it was any good. They just wanted it to
look good. Yeah, they didn't really care how long it would last. And that's a lot of that stuff didn't even last through the 80s.
I wonder if that building is still there. I'm sure someone will be able
to. I'm sure it's there.
Somebody's in Canada.
It might be there. They probably just renovated the inside of it. Usually the interiors were, they just weren't built to last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one of the things I love about this movie, like I said, it was his first feature film. Now, there was kind of a funny story behind this. I think we mentioned it on a couple of our other shows about Cronenberg movies, because we did The Brood and we did Videodrome. You know, Canada at the time, I'm not sure about now, but they had this whole kind of tax break thing where you could,
yeah,
like get tax money from the government to make movies and things of that nature. So he was actually applying for that grant,
yeah,
like to get this movie made.
Yeah, if you were a company that needed a tax write-off, you just found a guy who was making a movie and you gave him a bunch of money and then you wrote off like you gave him more than that.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a good tax shelter. So guys like Cronenberg were able to make a decent living during that time and,
yeah,
make some pretty cool flicks that never would have been made anywhere else.
Yeah.
These movies are weird.
Well, what ended up happening with this one was that it took so long for them to get back to him about the funding that he was actually considering going to Hollywood because Roger Corman had expressed an interest in making this film. Because David Cronenberg also wrote the screenplay, which will be quite obvious if,
yeah,
you watch the movie.
It's weird. Because
it's Cronenbergian as fuck.
Yeah.
But finally, the government came through and, you know, gave him the money and he made the movie. And after the movie was made and people in Canada saw it, everybody flipped the fuck out because they're,
yeah,
like, taxpayers are paying for this
yeah,
sordid, horrible, like, exploitation movie,
yeah,
which it kind of was.
Imagine zombies chasing you and want to have sex with you.
Yeah.
And some of them are gay.
It's kind,
yeah,
of like that.
It's like,
and
that,
it's,
yeah,
it's just very funny because, I mean, it's fairly mild now, I think.
Yeah,
but
in the days it was
But disturbing. In 1975, this was probably, yeah, like a big deal. So you can see how people were like morally outraged, you know, they get. But David Cronenberg is actually, he was kind of laughing about it. I watched an interview with him where he's talking about this movie. And he said, well, you know, after the movie came out, it was actually the first of these, you know, government-funded movies that actually turned a profit.
Yeah.
Then they kind of stopped whining about
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
But, you you know, at the time, like in the media, there was this big thing. It's like, oh my God, it's this big orgy of sex and violence and everything. Like I said, the movie is generally known nowadays as Shivers. It was initially released in the US as They Came From Within, also known as The Parasite Murders, or his original title for it, which I love, Orgy of the Blood Parasites.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that's pretty awesome. So another interesting thing about this too is that you can really see the influence of this movie on a lot of later movies.
Yeah.
Now, when Cronenberg was at, this is like several years later, like late 70s, early 80s, he was at some film festival or something, and some other director or movie maker or something accused him of ripping off Alien with this movie, even though this movie came out more than 4 years before Alien.
Right, yeah.
Because, you know, it had a similar kind of thing where there's like parasites inside the like bust out and stuff.
Yeah.
Also, the movie Slither paid obvious homage to the very iconic scene in this movie where Barbara Steele is in naked in the bathtub and like one of the parasites crawls up the plug hole of the bathtub. The whole premise of this movie is that here is this state-of-the-art, wonderful, high-tech apartment building that's on this island, and it has everything you'd ever need. It has tennis courts, it has pools, it has a doctor, it has stores, it has malls, and all this other kind of stuff. You never have to leave. So somehow they kind of explain like where the parasite comes from, but the parasite was initially, or so they say, engineered to replace people's organs.
Right.
So it was like these two doctors that were working on it, and they said, we wanted it to be able to go into your body and like, you know, replace your kidney if it was messed up or something, which, you know, that seems like a reasonable idea.
Yeah.
But then you find out later on that one of the doctors was like a mad scientist type doctor.
Yeah.
And he thought that humans had become too intellectual or too removed from their primal urges.
Right, yeah.
So he actually sort of made the parasite kind of get into your body, and then it basically just made you want to fuck everything inside.
Yeah, it was like an aphrodisiac.
Like an aphrodisiac.
Uncontrollable.
Type thing. And he called it like an aphrodisiac / STD.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. It's fucking hilarious. And it involves schoolgirls and just all kinds of stuff. One of the things that struck me about the movie is that there's a lot of dialogue between these doctors.
Yeah.
And the guys come off as being like very corporate and very believable. That's the way a lot of guys were when I was a little kid, the way I remembered them. And it's kind of funny to hear their conversations, because you're like, I remember when guys were like that. My uncle was kind of like that. You know what I mean? You're thinking like that, you know? Culture has changed a lot. So it's kind of like looking backwards in time about the way businessmen thought. Well, pretty interesting. Because there was no internet. You had to think things up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You had to talk face to face. It's just weird. When you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Well, the cool thing about this movie, like I said, it's, you know, it's his first feature film, so it's not quite as accomplished as some of his later stuff, but you can really see the potential that he was going to have, you know, because he made this when he was quite young, and you could see a lot of his ideas that were already pretty fully formed. I mean, the whole idea of this building, and it's sort of isolated because it's on an island, and it's almost serving as like a petri dish type thing.
Yeah.
And I love the way he did like the juxtaposition between particularly the opening scenes where you see this, you know, cute young couple come in and they're going to rent an apartment in the Starliner Towers. And there's like the guy who's like the rental agent or whatever, and he's all like smarmy and like telling them all about the stuff. And he's like, oh, it's so awesome and stuff. And then the movie cuts between that and the old doctor killing the schoolgirl, Annabelle.
Yeah, it was almost kind of like it looked like he was trying to rape her, too. It's hard to tell what was going on.
Yeah, and you find out later on that Annabelle was actually like the Typhoid Mary.
She was the one that had it.
She was the one that had the parasite. He put it in her like as she was like the guinea pig. And it turned out that she was kind of promiscuous and had like was having an affair with a bunch of people in the building.
Once she got infected, she was having sex with everybody.
She had been beforehand.
Oh, was she? Okay.
Because that was
kind of... Yeah, I guess so. That was kind of the way it was worded, right?
Yeah, that was kind of one of the themes of the movie was that even before the parasite started taking everyone over and making everyone fuck everyone and rape everyone.
This was 70s. This is back when you had to worry about promiscuous 15-year-old schoolgirls attacking you. You know what I'm talking about? They would just come out of nowhere. Everybody had to guard themselves.
Jumped out of the alley and here was this.
Everybody had to guard themselves from these plaid miniskirt wearing schoolgirls all the time and trying to attack grown men, you know? Yeah.
I know. I can't count the number of times my poor brothers had to,
you had
put
to watch
up
out.
Roving gangs of schoolgirls.
Yeah. Catholic schoolgirls.
But yeah, I mean, it's like one of the points of the movie, I think, that he was trying to make was that there was a whole bunch of sordid shit going on before the parasites even got there. Like, everyone was having an affairs, everyone was doing this and that. So it's almost kind
of
like...
It was regular 1970s.
Yeah, well, it was almost kind of like... I would almost, almost call this a black comedy.
Yeah.
Because you can tell that he's saying, look, here was all this stuff that was going on before the parasites even got there. Yeah. The parasites just brought it to the surface. So it's almost like he was commenting on like the hypocritical nature of these like upright people.
The 70s was wild anyway. And they're trying to, in a way, they're kind of promoting the Starliner towers is kind of like being a veiled love hotel in a way. You know what I mean?
That's
kinda
true.
It had some, it looked kind of like one of those love hotels. 70s love resorts.
It did kind of. Although, you know, everything kind of looked
it did. Tacky, kind of sleazy, kind of, you know, 70s porn kind of way. You know, it looked like that.
Everything looked like 70s.
Everything looked like that, yeah. But like, sleazy times. Yeah. Sleazy times.
It really was, honestly. Yeah. Like, the whole decade was just like a sticky film of disgusting. It really, yeah, you know, it was kind of fun too, but like, I was pretty young.
That 60s free love culture just, it got too excessive. You know what I mean? It'd been around for too long, you know?
But like I said, I really like, this is one of the kind of things where it's kind of an ensemble piece. So it's not like, you know, some of the acting is good. Some of it's a little, you know, it's, there's not like a lot of characterization.
Yeah.
I think the best guy in it is the guy that plays Rollo, who is the other doctor's buddy or whatever. The one that's like just constantly eating pickles.
Yeah.
Which, that's like a phallic thing, I think. He even, like, at one point he even makes a big deal of, like, hey, you gonna eat that pickle? And the guy, like, throws the half-eaten pickle at him and shit like that. So, because the parasites look like slugs or worms.
Yeah.
Now, initially, David Cronenberg said that he wanted them to look like spiders.
Right.
But because they didn't have the budget, he's like, obviously it's much easier to make a parasite that looks like a slug than make one that looks like a spider crawling out of people's mouths and shit like that. So that's why they ended up looking like that. But in a way, I think that worked better because they looked like dicks. And spiders don't look like dicks.
It's generally a weird flick. The kind of texture, the textures of this movie is kind of strange, if I'm going to call it a texture. I guess it is. It kind of reminds me, in some ways, like Extro. Remember that movie, Extro?
It is very, it has a similar tone.
Yeah, kind of like Extro mixed with The Brood. Kind
of
mixed.
Yeah, like I said, it's like a weird juxtaposition of like this clinical, like unfeeling, like everyone is kind of like,
it's got a corporate medical kind of a vibe,
right?
To
which
it.
A lot of his movies did, particularly the ones that he wrote. But then on the other hand, you have that juxtaposed against this really disgusting, like visceral, like these fucking slugs like coming out of people's mouths and busting out of their stomachs and crawling up their vaginas. And
the special effects are not good, but they're good enough. They're good enough.
I mean,
the way
it was 1975.
Yeah, the way it was shot, you knew what they were doing.
I mean, if you kind of look at it from the 1975 point of view, I mean, the slugs look pretty good.
Yeah.
It looks pretty gross, like them coming out of people's mouths, like gross-ass tongues and shit
like
that.
The movie was made for nothing. I mean, they didn't
It really didn't cost hardly anything.
It kind of has a homemade feel to it, but in a good way.
It
kind of adds to the creepiness of the movie.
Yeah.
Almost kind of like Martin level production, like Martin. Although the transfer that's on Tubi.tv is a lot better than the transfers of Martin. It's a better preserved movie.
I actually don't know. Shivers, the DVD might be out of print.
Okay.
I think you can get a Blu-ray in the UK. I don't know if you can get one here because I watched a couple other people's reviews of it and people were complaining.
Yeah.
I don't know how old those reviews were, but people were complaining that the DVD was out of print.
Looked good on Tubi.
Yeah, and that some people that were selling them, like on eBay or something, wanted like hundreds of dollars because they're very rare. You know, it's just kind of like, another interesting thing I wanted to say about this movie too, and I think the reason why it caused such a big controversy when it came out was because, and this is going back to what I was saying too about this being like a little bit of a black comedy, is that, I mean, it's a subtle black comedy. It's kind of like more a satire than a black comedy, I guess.
It had some funny parts in it,
I
thought.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It did. One of my favorite parts, as funny parts, was then when that laundry woman gets the parasite, that big fat laundry woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she peeks out of her apartment door and she's like all made up like Tammy Faye Baker. And she's like, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I love.
I like the two skinny gay guys walking down the... the hallway and they're following the guy. And the guy runs through his apartment to hide and they're knocking on the door. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, want to go to a party?
And I have to say that there are some kind of like, even for today, that are kind of like, I mean, there's shots of like little girls like kissing grown men on the mouth and
yeah,
stuff
I guess
like
there
that.
Was, wasn't
yeah,
it?
So
yeah.
It's still a little.
It's pretty risque.
Yeah, it's still a little controversial even for today. But, you know, one of the things too I want to say about it is that I think the reason that it caused such a stink when it came out to a large extent was because, you know, horror movies, most of the time, you know, the bad guy gets defeated or it's like things resume to the status quo or whatever. But David Cronenberg in this movie does not seem to be condemning the parasite thing. He's almost making it seem like it's kind of a good thing. Like, maybe this is sort of a good thing.
I don't know. I'm not going to read into it.
But,
I don't know.
You could read it either way. Because the parasites are not destroyed at the end.
I think he thinks it's funny, if he has
to. Yeah, that's what I mean. I think he's making a statement about, like, these hypocritical people that are living in this.
The message is, you're all whores.
Yeah, and it's like, but they're pretending not to be, but then the parasite just makes them be like, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah, right.
We're just going to be like that. And then at the end, when they're like, you know, leaving the island as though they're going to like infect the world with the parasites and everything like that, it's almost seen as like, woohoo, like a liberation type of thing. And I think that that's why a lot of people flipped out about it, because they're like, well, it almost makes it look like he thinks that would be good.
You couldn't make the movie today. They'd put a modern spin on it and condemn you, and this guy would be locked up in prison probably. But it wasn't meant to be taken seriously. It was just a take on a zombie movie.
And
I think
and honestly, like I said, I've watched a lot of interviews with David Cronenberg over the years talking about his various movies, and he actually has a very intellectual and clinical approach to making movies, but he also has a really, really nasty sense of humor. And I think that, you know, or a really like dark sense of humor. And I think a lot of that comes through in his movies. And I don't know, like, if you're not a big fan of his work or you haven't seen a lot of his movies, I think that it's easy to miss.
Yeah.
Because it's very subtle. But I think it happened in The Brood. He's always like making fun. He's like poking holes in sort of institutions, and you know, he's kind of trying to bring it down from within, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what I kind of liked about this movie, is that, you know, the fact that the Starliner Towers, it was like this, you know, like a petri dish, and that was where this whole thing was going to come bubbling to the surface, and it was just going to go out and infect everybody.
Yeah.
And it wasn't going to be bad.
It was just a pandemic of sluts. It's a slut pandemic. She's trying to make it sound high-minded and artistic and artsy-fartsy. It's just a slut pandemic. That's all it is.
Well, yeah, but no, but that's what he's talking about. I mean, he is actually.
But he's saying y'all are sluts anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, like I said, he's condemning the hypocrisy.
Yeah, it's just funny.
Of pretending that you're not.
Right.
And, you know, acting like you're kind of a big deal, or you're all kind of like, yeah, we're all going to live on this island. It's going to be all awesome.
You're all sluts underneath the surface.
But yeah, underneath, like I
veneer,
said, it was
that
like
veneer of propriety.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, so at the time, it's gotten a lot better ratings over the years. I think at the time, most of the reviews were negative.
People
called it repulsive.
Because now you're seeing an old movie that's trying to pull this off, and it's more hilarious in a way.
It is.
Yeah, I don't think Cronenberg was just a weird guy, and he'd just try to take whatever strange angle he could find and mash it in together. So, you know, a pandemic of slut zombies was just kind of something that had never been done. Repel people, and we'll cut into people, and we'll have slugs and people killing each other, and you know, and hey, want a party? You know, want to go to a party? You know, it'd be funny, you know. So
I always liked Cronenberg because he's one of the very, very few directors, maybe the only one, that can kind of pull off the tightrope act between exploitative sleaze and like kind of an intellectual artistic statement.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get away with that shit. And as far as I can think, and I mean, if anybody else knows, I think there's probably a couple other ones, but he's kind of the main one that can get away with that shit.
Some of the infected people, man, are just hilarious too. When you look in the background, you see what they're doing, and they're going woohoo, and they're jumping into swimming pools and stuff, and they're coming to get you. It's just funny, you know.
it's a great, like I said, it's a great premise.
Yeah.
And it's just funny the way it was kind of picked up on later on, because you know how much Cronenberg loves that bodily transformation.
Skinny old hairy dudes in their underwear trying to run you down, you know, and chasing you down hallways, you know.
And then there's all these little dick parasites coming after you, like scooching down the hall, leaving little blood trails just and this shit like
freakish,
that.
Freakish combination of like big old fat women and little kids and just everything.
Yeah, like I said, that's probably why it's to be controversial weird. Nowadays because it infects
all humans. All humans could be infested, so they just all start acting crazy.
Yeah. So that's you know, but yeah. So
and they attack each other too. So it's not just you know uninfected people. You know they seem to be preferring uninfected people.
Well, because the parasite was trying to pass itself on. Because that's what the parasite did. It got in and it changed your behavior.
But they were all
and made it so you would pass it to people that didn't have
they
it.
They were all molesting each other too as they were attacking.
Yeah. So
I don't remember very much nudity really in it. There's not a lot that there's a lot of suggestion of certain things going on, but it's not X-rated though.
No. But I mean, there is kind of a famous scene with Lynn Lowry, who plays the nurse.
Yeah.
Where, you know, her boyfriend, the doctor, is like talking on the phone and she's like taking all her clothes off. Like, yeah. Hey, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And actually the schoolgirl, you do kind of see her naked from the side.
Yeah, but she's not that young.
I think in the movie she's supposed to be 15, but I think the actor
she's probably about 20.
Is much older. Yeah, so it's not. But it's not like a super, there's boobies and stuff, but that's.
Yeah, you can watch them free on Tubi TV.
Free boobies.
Yeah, go check it out.
Everybody's like, big deal. There's free boobies all over the place.
It's
2018.
It's just kind of a cool snapshot of the past, you know, of what they were thinking about, what they were doing in the 70s and where Cronenberg was coming from, you know.
Yeah.
If you like Cronenberg movies, you know, like The Brood and this
yeah,
is one
this
you.
Is a, it's a little rougher probably than The Brood because this is,
you can tell
like
it's
I
an
said,
you can tell it's an early work.
Yeah, it's like his first feature film. Right. So you can tell there's a little bit of.
It does kind of have that creepy, alienated feeling of like you're being in a secluded area where there isn't a whole lot of people, even though there's people in the damn shot. For some reason, it feels like there's not people there. I don't know why.
It's the way he shoots things, and
it's isolated and secluded, although they're showing you 10 people right there in frame, but for some reason it feels like it's isolated from the rest of the world, you know? It's weird.
I'm not a filmmaker, but...
Part of it is the decor. That decor is very kind of Spartan looking and retro and aesthetic, you know? And it's a very archaic kind of decor, but it still kind of looks good in a weird way. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Well, maybe that's why to us it seems, because even though we grew up with houses looking like that, nowadays when you see a house look like it's, you know, it's like you said, it's on an abandoned
it's like ruined.
Mall channel or like that.
You could only walk into a room like that nowadays if you walked into a ruin.
Yeah, so it gives you that feeling.
It gives you that
weird
feeling.
But I also think,
I don't know if it does that for younger people, but we're old enough to remember things looking like that and know what they look like today.
Yeah.
And the only place you'd find that now would be in some abandoned place that had been walled up for decades.
Right.
Kind of a creepy feeling.
Yeah.
Like walking into a tomb.
And I want to say, too, that it's like, I'm not a filmmaker, so I'm not sure exactly what methods he uses, but David Cronenberg is very good. I think he uses like a lot of wide shots and a lot of shots from like slightly below eye level.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives you this weird sense.
Like you're real small.
You being smaller than the surrounding area. So that might contribute too.
Yeah.
Because a lot of his work has that, like you said, a very isolating, very almost intimidating or cold sort of look to it. And I think a lot of it has to do with his camera work. The camera work in this one is not super fancy, but it really does give you that feeling. Yeah. I wanted to mention too, when you were talking about the decor, those green round lamps.
Oh yeah, they were pretty cool.
In the bedroom with the guy with the parasite in his stomach that was talking to his stomach parasite.
They wouldn't have survived it today. Those were paper.
Because I had some like that, but they were red. But they were so pretty with like all the green swirls and a bunch of shit like that.
Copies or something kind of like that today.
It would be cool if you could get ones that were like wrought iron.
Yeah.
It reminded me of a lamp that my grandmother used to have in her house back in the 70s that was like cylindrical, but it had like this hammered silver like collars. There was like two or three of them. And then from each of the collars was hanging all these little green like jewels, like a chandelier, but they were all green.
Yeah, it's and there all was that like old a
yellow.
Stuff.
Yeah, there was like a yellow light in there, so it was like this really pretty like green and yellow.
I like that old plastic stuff that they had all the time. What was it called? It was used in lamps and furniture back in the 60s and the 70s, and it was kind of like a colored plastic, and it had sometimes like gold highlights in it.
Yeah,
it looked like
yeah,
crystals.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I forgot what it was called though.
Yeah, I can't remember either. We looked it up one day, and then yeah. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Now I can't remember again.
Not Lycra.
No, that's
L.
like spandex.
That's like spandex, yeah. That's too but you don't see different. That anymore, and if you find it, it's expensive.
Yeah.
They want a lot for that.
Well, yeah, because there's not much of
there's
it left,
much of
I
it
guess.
Left.
Because
right.
it was cheap back in the day.
Right.
But yeah, so if you like Cronenberg and you want to see kind of where he came from, this was his first feature film. The only things he'd made before this were, you know, student film, short film.
Ah,
stuff
it was called
like
Lucite.
There you go, Lucite.
Lucite, yeah.
That's, I knew, you've, well, you got an L.
Yeah,
you got
Lucite.
Right.
That was some weird shit. And if I saw a piece of Lucite, like Lamp, that was a new production, they want a lot for that.
Yeah.
I guess because there's no facilities to make it anymore.
Yeah, probably not.
It looked like amber, like in any color you wanted. Yeah.
There was all kind of that shit in the 70s.
Yeah, it's gone now.
Yeah, there was like tons. I used to go in people's houses all the time and see that shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of reminded me of it. I feel like the decor in this is not quite as crazy as, remember in The Brood? Like that one house, it was like the grandparents' house or something like that.
Yeah.
And the wallpaper in that was like, oh my God. I was just
yeah.
like, ah, that's like the 70s yeah. wallpaper I've ever seen.
Yeah, we only remember it from our childhood.
Yeah. The funniest thing about this one, I mean, other than those beautiful lamps, which I actually love, I don't think they were tacky at all. But the thing I remember to this, the guy with the parasites in his stomach, he came home and sat on his sofa. And he had like one of those really low down, like white leather sofas, but it's like really, really close to the ground.
Yeah.
And then his fucking shag carpet with like next to the little low.
Yeah,
fireplace.
And the shag's like 3.5 inches long.
I know, right?
I mean, I don't even think you could vacuum that. It'd get caught up in the power head.
Probably
the little rotating brush.
You the only good thing though, all the drinking and coke you were doing in the 70s, if you fell onto the shag, then it would be soft.
All the bodily fluids have just soaked into that shit over time. Nasty.
Oh.
Nasty. I don't think people kept that kind of carpeting for long because I don't think you could clean it properly.
I don't like carpet at all.
Remember Barbarella? They had that carpet on the damn walls and the ceilings of the spaceships.
I know.
Yeah, it looked like fur.
Yeah.
Talk about a dust trap.
Which, yeah, it looks neat, but it's just really not practical
dirty.
At all. It's like you'd never clean
it.
It
would look good for a few weeks. And
then it would get all moldy and stinky. And especially if, like, while the people smoking and shit like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
and
like
the
I
love
said.
Ins and shit. Nasty.
All those love-ins we were having.
All those wet spots.
Right.
Nasty.
It is nasty, yeah. So, okay.
Smells like a fish tank in here.
Oh!
Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
go ahead.
Man. And on that note, holy shit, dude. All right. I think that's where I came in. All right. So go check out Shivers or They Came From Within or whatever. It's on Tubi TV right now if you want to go watch it for free. Because if you want the DVD, you're going to have to pay out the ass for it because apparently it's edible.
Yeah.
So yeah, go check it
it's
out.
It's a rare movie. Go check it out.
If you are into Cronenberg. And remember, if you like our show, to like, share, subscribe, and share with all your friends on all your social media. Also, if you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/13o'clock, or you can go to our blog, which is 13o'clockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account if you'd like to make a one-time donation. Also, this show is going up on Friday, so actually tomorrow, which is Saturday, July 28th, 2018, our friends A Starry Night, the goth dark wave slash post-punk band from Miami, are playing in Orlando, Florida at Will's Pub. And me and Tom will be there. I will have a table with a couple of books for sale and a couple other things and stuff. So if you're in the Central Florida area and you want to come out and see a really kick-ass band and meet me and Tom, because we're going to be there too, come down to Will's Pub in Orlando. That's Saturday, July 28th, 2018. Come down and say hi to us. And remember to check out our regular episodes, which are up every Tuesday, and our movie reviews, which are up every Friday. And that will do it for this installment. We will see you next time. Bye.